We'll call the meeting of the Agriculture, Rural Economy, Veterans Affairs, Finance Division to order. And Representative Doty moves the minutes of March 23rd. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is adopted. Members, we'll get right to the bill. There's a number of amendments. I think we can move through them rather quickly. I know Larry Hosh in particular has a conference committee in the Capitol starting in about a half hour, so we want to move through some of this stuff while we got members available. I've been told by Representative Hamilton and Magnus there's nothing of substance from their side. We don't either, except for Representative Doty has a couple bills, but they're bills that have either passed this committee or another committee, too, that we maybe missed. So what we're going to do is take the 2678 DE1, that's what we're working off of, and we'll get through that with the amendments we have in your packets. I think we have them all there. There might be a couple that are being copied yet. So we'll go, and then of course we have staff here to help us too, but let's just go in order. We have the A2 amendment. And I'll move the A2 amendment. Mr. Sullivan, what does that one do? Or Clary or whoever.
Mr. Chair and members, the A2 amendment is a change to the wind easement language, which is on page 14 of the DE1.
Okay, that's fine. This was reminding me. This is, we worked with some of the farm groups on this. This is extending 1 year. The opportunity to work on this easement issue for the wind farms in southeast Minnesota that Representative Brown and others have been working on. So any questions to that or concerns from anyone that, and if anyone needs to testify for or against any of these as they're coming, please stand up and approach the front because we move pretty quickly here. So Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had spoke with Mr. Sullivan, too, about putting on just a date on the portion we're changing in the alien ownership part of the farm law to correlate to this extension in the easements, and so hopefully he'll be able to provide us with that.
Do you want to, Representative Falk, wants to offer amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, I believe the amendment would be on page 14 of the DE1. Page 14, line 20, after the period, insert, this clause expires on June 1st, 2011.
But we're on the A2 amendment.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. So this language would be an amendment to the A2 amendment,
okay,
which would amend the DE1. So on the A2 amendment, it would be, we'd go page 1 after line 11, which is insert the language that I just said. Should I start over?
That's fine.
Okay.
Representative Falk to that amendment again.
Basically what it does is the amendment here is we're extending the limitation on how long you can tie up wind easements. Right now there's a 7-year time period. That expires this year, so we're extending that for a year. But in doing that also, we are adjusting the exemption we're putting in the alien ownership law that allows these foreign multinational companies to take interest in ag land. We're making that option available for a year as well. That forces the parties to work together to put together a solution that this has been an ongoing issue, and so we'll have a year to go and work out the details before both parts expire. I think it's just a good way to make the parties sit down at the table and figure out what is the best option that'll meet the needs of our farmers and the developers.
What I'm inclined to do, again, this isn't the Energy Committee, but I'm inclined to put it on, then talk to Representative Hilty and other parties as it moves forward, and if it's not comfortable with everyone when we get the Finance Committee, we can do some adjusting. Representative Magnus.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to look at that a little closer, too, because, as you say, and Representative Falk and I both serve on the Energy Committee. I don't know what to say. I support the initial A2 amendment, but I would like to talk to the Energy Committee about that because I'm not quite certain. But maybe Representative Falk, you could explain it a little more again.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Magnus, this deals with the ag issues, which is the enforcement of the alien ownership portion of the law.
Yeah.
And on page 14 here, we would just be adding a date that correlates to the extension of the wind easements portion. So it really isn't necessarily germane to energy, to the Energy Committee. It would just be for the allowing the exemption for approximately 1 year to the large developers to go and get these easements signed up that they have some issue with, the whether it's transmission lines or the roads going to turbines.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm not comfortable putting this on at this time.
Okay. And I know Representative Brown has worked fairly intimately. Mm-hmm. Again, it's something I would suggest, Representative Faulk, we can certainly vote on it. If you'd withdraw it, we could, you should work with Representative Brown and Poppy. It's a big issue for them in their area. We don't want to muddle with that, and certainly with Farm Bureau and Farmers Union and with the Energy Committee. I really don't understand it either, quite frankly. It's just something, and I you know, I appreciate you bringing it, and you can certainly bring anything you want to this committee. But I also like to get people's comfort level to where they support it, too, and I just don't understand the issue at all. So you're over my pay grade. Representative Faulk, and I'm happy to admit that. You want to leave it as is at this point, or?
Well, Mr. Chair, when is the option that you would like to go and see this, if it's actually in, I know it's kind of quick here to do it in language
well,
or writing.
Well, from here, we'll be moving out, and I suppose we'll be in Finance Committee after Easter break sometime, and then we can certainly, I'll give you my commitment to add it in if you have agreement with everyone, that's fine. I just don't know the issue enough to do that, and if Representative Brown is uncomfortable, I mean, she's worked very hard on this the last couple of years. I don't want to muddle up anything she's working on with her growers and her producers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're not. I just don't know.
Right. This is simply just another level of protection that makes sure that our landowners are taken care of properly, that if the developers aren't working in an expedited fashion.
I think she wants it on because she's working with those landowners. So.
Yes, and Mr. Chair and Representative Faulk, I'd be glad to visit with you and work with this between now and the next committee, but I'm really not comfortable at it this time because you and I really have not had an in-depth conversation about this mm-hmm. yet.
Okay. With that, I will withdraw the oral amendment.
Thank you. Otherwise, to the underlying amendment, the A2, with the understanding we'll keep working on Representative Faulk and Brown's issue here on that moving forward. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. A3 amendment. This is one that came from Mr. Krogman and his group, just to firm up the language we had in there on fuel dispensing equipment and their liabilities to that. So we talked about it. It's really technical, but we're just adding some language to that. I'll offer the A3. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Adopted. I should say all those opposed, no. I didn't think I heard any. Right. A4 amendment. Representative Doty offers the A4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is one that we have heard in this committee and moved it out. In fact, it was in the finance bill, but because bad things happen to finance bills sometimes around here, wanted to make sure that this survived. Basically, this just allows money from the Support Our Troops account to be used for services and programs for the families of vets, not just the vets.
Okay. This is a bill we've moved out previously, members. We're just putting it in here so it's in a couple places. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A4 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's adopted. Representative Hosh offers the A5 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move the A5 amendment, and what the A5 amendment does is clarify an intention of what we did last year when it came to veterans' preferences for teachers. Last year, I had a constituent contact me who indicated that through an application process wasn't given veterans' preference when he applied to be a teacher. We thought that kind of odd because we applied in many other public, you know, our cities, our counties, the whole work. So we added veterans' preference last year. However, due to the closeness to deadline, what we ended up also doing was requiring veterans' preference in the disciplinary and dismissal procedures for teachers, and that was not our intention. The school boards had concerns with that. This amendment has been drafted with the aid of Mr. Cleary and the School Boards Association. I believe everybody supports it, and will allow our veterans who are teachers to be able to be honored for their service at the front end of getting an interview, and still be able to honor contracts and procedures when it comes to disciplinary actions for our teachers.
Very good, and this was the intent last year. I was surprised that it got drafted differently, but again, we were approached by people, and Representative Hosh was the chief author, so I think this is a good amendment. It goes back to our original intent, and we'll go from there. Any discussion on that from anyone? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A5 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. A6. A7 instead of A6, which is just handed out. Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The substitution.
Representative Doty offers the A7, and they're just bringing it now. So, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, throw A6. The substitution of A7 is to put us exactly in line with what's moving in the Senate, just to clean things up.
Okay, and what this does, members, I'll give you some. There is a fiscal note to this, and obviously our main fiscal vehicle has already left this committee. With the exception of some of the fees and other things that we have in this bill. So what I'm going to do is ask you to put it on. It's who gets a veterans education benefits, adding some additional folks to that list. But it does have a note of about roughly $30,000 a year for higher ed over in Rick Avina's committee. And so between now and Finance Committee, we will, Representative Doty and I and others, will talk and see if they cannot absorb that. We may have to take this off in Finance, but that's the job of Finance, too, if bills don't balance, that they will remove that amendment. So I'd ask that we put it on now and keep it moving, and then we'll visit with the committees and see if they can handle the fiscal note or not. And Mr. Reinhold said the fiscal note just came in last night, so it's been real hard to do that. Is that fine, Representative Magnus? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, this is an issue we talked quite a bit about last year, and I certainly support it. Thanks, Representative Doty, for bringing it forth. I agree with you, Mr. Chairman. What right. I'd like to see us put it on.
There is a fiscal about $6,000 to the department, too, but Department of Veterans Affairs, but I'm sure we can figure that out if that's the only thing.
Mr. Chair, I've already spoken to them, and they have agreed that they can find this $6,000.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's adopted. I think that's, does anyone have any other amendments to 2678? 2678 are omnibus.
Is this
you have one? Someone's got one. Mr.
Cemetery Bill?
Oh, the, I don't have that one. My staff didn't give me that one. But I'm maybe it's somewhere. I shouldn't blame them yet. Well, there it is. All right, A1. I'll offer the A1 amendment. This is the cemeteries amendment. Remember, yesterday, members, we talked about getting it out of the bonding language so we don't have to travel the bonding committee and rather put it in as a standalone language in this bill. Was there someone that had someone talked to me about a word change or something in this? Was there anything? It was in my office earlier, and I get to know. Representative Welty, are you okay with this? Okay, that's where it came from. This is basically setting up the opportunity for organizing a cemetery in southeast Minnesota and then exploring that Fort Ridgely site or other sites in southwest that we've heard about in the book. And Mr. Sullivan, you got anything else to change in this amendment?
No, Mr. Chair. The first eight lines are technical and deal with the ag portion of the bill. I can speak to those if you want, but they are truly technical.
Please don't. All right. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's adopted. Now I think that's it, unless there's any other amendments. Okay, discussion to the bill as amended, the omnibus bill that we're sending out here as amended to the panel here or to anyone else in the room. Any discussion?
Chairman?
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank you and your staff for working with us in the minority side. I think we've done the the best we can for the time being, a good bill, good for the state, good for agriculture and the veteran community. And I really appreciate you working with us in the minority to put this together.
As always, it's your committee and our committee, Representative Magnus, and I concur with you. And as we move forward, if you see other issues before we get to the floor, if we can get it, we'll talk to Representative Magnus and both sides. If we can agree, we'll certainly can amend all the way up to that point, too. But nothing's before me at this time, any additional. So, okay, I renew the motion then that House File 2678, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the full Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That prevails. All right, members, we have one more bill here. I'll move House File 2100 before the committee. And then I will move the DE1, but it's going to have some changes to that DE1 amendment. And then I'll explain it. Mr. Sullivan, can you explain the DE1 changes that I want?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the changes to the DE1 would essentially change it from a delete everything into a page and line amendment. So on the DE1, page 1, delete line 2, and insert page 1 before line 15, insert colon. And then there'd be a change to the language for the uses of the agricultural proceeds. Page 1, line 9, before biofuel, insert biomass, hyphen related development, including. And then on page 9, before, excuse me, page 8, line 18, before amend, insert three number sections in sequence and.
It's what we're doing is basically adding on. So instead of a delete all, we keep the original language, and then this amendment will sit right after the original language as an add-on amendment. So we keep the original underlying bill. We add this. This is a biomass bill, and I want to make sure we're including biomass in the ag section of this. So we just add the word biomass in there also. And I'll incorporate those changes into my my amendment. And members and audience, obviously, this is the an amendment concerning the Racino. And I think it deserves some discussion. I'm not inclined to have a full hearing on Racino. It is not our purview in this committee to talk about gambling or gaming issues, but it is our purview to talk about agriculture finance issues. And as part of this bill, you will see a section on, the first page of the amendment. Basically, you see on 1.8, 20% of this fund that's set up is dedicated and may be appropriated for agriculture, rural development uses, including livestock, biofuel, biomass, etc. Members, I don't know if a bill like this will pass the legislature this year or next year. There's other bills out there concerning gaming in the state. Representative Kahn's got ones for sports. Gaming. Representative Brown's got one for electronic pull tabs. There's others out there. I just think the realization is there also that in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, there is no money in this place for anything. And if we're not willing to start the discussion on some of these things this year, because we're, you know, for some reason we got to keep everything off the table, I think that's ridiculous. And I think we all have election certificates, and we should discuss these issues, understand them, understand the, both sides of them at some point in time. Certainly, if this amended bill leaves this committee, again, I'm under no illusions, it'll be requested by 14 other committees that'll want to see it. So I get that. And it'll tie it up. But I think it's important that we move this bill and continue that discussion forward, because again, we need money for livestock investment grants, $15 million a year, and folks on the other side of this issue haven't told me where that's going to come from. And we need money for next gen energy grants so we can develop that next generation of energy across rural Minnesota. That's our future. No one has been able to tell me where that's coming from. In fact, just the opposite. Everyone wants to steal our ethanol money right now that would become that money had we been able to pay off these ethanol plants early. So it goes on and on and on and on. Also in here, just for your information, this would raise about approximately $125 million a year. This bill divides that into five pots of money, one for the agriculture fund, like I said, one for early childhood and family education across the state. Again, $25 million for them, one for bioscience and medical technologies, which is a growing and expanding and a strength of Minnesota. Again, no money to give to these people. One for a sports facility infrastructure development fund, could be sheets of ice, could be soccer fields, or it could be a Viking stadium. Let's just put it on the table. There's up to that's $25 million in that pot, but there's also $25 million that's not dedicated. So whether you're looking at a Saints stadium in St. Paul or a Viking stadium somewhere in the metro or our sports facilities, there's no money for that at this point. This bill at least provides an option for those folks, too, to look at it. So again, I'm not pretending that this is a bill that will become law moving out of here, but what I'm asking is that you would consider it and move it forward so we can keep that discussion going in the legislature, which I think is important the next 2 months, but I think it's also important for the next 2 or 3 years as we are facing tremendous budget pressure. 80% of Minnesotans support this, so I understand it's very popular outside the walls of the Capitol, and I think on behalf of those we represent, we should also continue that discussion inside the walls of the Capitol. So that's my amendment. Any discussion to the amendment first from the table? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the chair that this is something that we need to discuss. And I heard his number for revenue to the state. And I just want to remind people that it really depends also on what state you're comparing with, what program or what particular bill we're talking about. But revenue, depending on who you're talking to, can be anywhere with these bills, a small, modest amount from $17 million to the state to numbers that I've got on a number of bills up to $1 billion on the high end. And I think that's something that we need to be discussing and continuing to look at. Certainly, we were fortunate enough to get informational hearings on some of these bills, which were just that informative, and I appreciate the fact that the chair is bringing forward a bill that maybe we can see a little bit of movement on, regardless of what happens after the fact. We are in a deficit, and this is more money than what you're going to find under the couch cushions.
Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This I guess I had a question. I understand the need for more revenue, and we've tried in the past to do that, and the governor vetoed the tax increases that we'd passed. And the governor has also taken a position against gambling as a source of revenue, against the expansion of gambling. So I guess I'm wondering if that's still the case, or has the governor changed his mind or changed his position on this issue at all? Because it seems to me that it would obviously suffer the same fate as trying to raise taxes. So I don't know if anybody's got an answer for that, but I know on public radio and on in the newspapers it's been pretty clear that he's been opposed, taking a public position opposed to it.
And I certainly agree there's been a mixed discussions of that. My latest intel on that as author of the bill is that discussions have been ongoing in the governor's office with those that are on both sides of the issue, obviously, and that the governor is still, I think it's uncertain what he would do. I don't think he would sign the bill. I do believe you're right there. But there has been some discussion. There's other ways for bills to become law, and one of them is to do nothing. And so I think that option is still available there from the folks I'm working with. He has not ruled that out totally. I don't think he's inclined to sign the bill, however. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank you for bringing this issue forward. Just a comment. We had a couple of town hall meetings out in my district 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. And I would guess about 60 or 70 people at those two meetings, and we took a show of hands of to gauge support for the concept of the Racino. and it was near unanimous in favor, the support for it. And I think the realization has hit the people of the state that if we want to move ahead with any additional revenue, we have to look at something like this. So just wanted to throw that out, that people in the outstate areas realize that this may be our only hope of any additional revenue for a time to come.
Okay. Again, I'll bring it out to the audience now. If anyone wants to come up and testify, again, I don't want to take, you know, we're not going to do a four-hour hearing here. I'm really concerned about the ag section in here. And obviously the other sections concern other committees' jurisdiction, and I'm happy to go wherever it's called to explain those too. But if someone wants to come down and comment generally and specifically then to the ag section, you're certainly welcome to. Someone's stretching here. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourselves for the tape and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Andrew Kozak, and I represent the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. And thank you for the opportunity. We'll try to be brief. I understand the constraints you're under. And we won't get into, Mr. Chairman, we're not going to get into all the particulars. As Representative Brown noted, there was an informational hearing some time back, and where a lot of these issues were aired. But let me, if I can, just make 2 points, and then I'll defer to Mr. Grindle, who I think can offer some more specifics. Number one, the impact. Recognize, and I've certainly heard all the arguments in favor of doing this and proceeding with the Racino. But this, there's a couple of things I think should be brought out. Number one, what we know is that the market for gambling in Minnesota has been is close to saturated. It's certainly very, very mature. We know this because the people we represent have experienced some pretty significant declines in their business because of the recession. But even before that, they've known that the growth curve that they've seen over the last 20 years has flattened out considerably. So as soon as someone else gets into the market, what's going to happen? It's not that you're going to create new players. You're going to take business away from the existing venues. So, and I'm sure that, and I'm not sure anyone is going to be able to dispute that definitively, because that's the reality that we, that the people we represent, are living with today. Number two, once you assume that, then if you introduce a new player into the mix here, you're going to find that they're going to take business from someone else. What that means is that you're going to take business from the tribal gambling facilities that are located within the market range of the two racetracks that are going to be the beneficiaries of this proposal. Most people, I think, believe that the only real target here is the Shakopee tribe, which operates Mystic Lake Casino. That seems to be the general notion. However, I think there's very strong evidence, and you'll hear more about that specifically, that this proposal would affect at least 3-4 other tribes, mainly in the rural area. There's only one casino in the metropolitan area. That's Mystic Lake. All the other casinos are in rural counties. And I will tell you this, that in each of those counties, with the exception of St. Louis, where there is a casino, a tribal casino, they are the number one employer in that county, except for St. Louis County. Even in Scott County, the Mystic Lake Casino is the largest employer. So if you introduce another gambling facility that's going to compete with them, it stands to reason you're going to take business from them, market share from them, and that means you're going to take jobs from them. Now, in the aggregate across the state, you're going to hear, if the proponents are going to talk to you today, you're going to hear this is going to create jobs. Well, it's really not, because the jobs that they create are jobs that are going to be taken from the existing casinos. So I would argue that it's, in terms of job creation, this bill is a push. However, what you are going to do, outside of the employees that would move from, would lose their job at Mystic Lake, what you are going to do is disrupt the jobs of many people. And you're going to shift, there'll be a shift of jobs from the rural area to the metro area, because the two casinos that, or the two racetracks that would be the beneficiaries of this proposal are both in the metropolitan area. So you're going to take, I think it's a bit ironic, if we're going to just simply talk about jobs, that this committee, that this proposal is going to take jobs from the rural area. And I think that's, frankly, quite indisputable. Because that's exactly what's going to happen, and Mr. Grindle can explain that more definitively. Let's talk about and I think that's one of our major concerns, is it's going to take jobs from our people, the jobs that the people in these areas have, and they are going to either lose them, or in order to get employment, they're going to have to either move to the cities or try to apply for a job at one of these two racetracks. Revenues. I know that, let me say first that whatever you do, if this were to pass and become law, the state's going to make money. I don't think there's any question about that. We're not going to dispute that. However, Mr. Chair, I think that there have been some wild estimates about how much money this is going to raise. I know the proponents of the original bill, Mr. Chairman, have argued that it's $125 million. I can't tell you what it's going to be. However, I will suggest that the only third party submission on this issue has come from your own nonpartisan research department, a memo from Mr. McCormick that came out last month that suggested, in his opinion, this is not a fiscal note, but it is a memo from Mr. McCormick at House Research. And for Racinos, he simply says the estimated state tax revenues, he estimates, will be between $44 and $98 million, which is a significantly smaller sum than the $125 million that's been used in support of the proposal. So I would suggest that in the final analysis, when you do a proposal such as this, I would expect the state to use a balancing test, and that is, are the disruptions that a bill like this is going to cause, because it is going to cause disruptions. People are going to lose their jobs. Is it worth doing that in return for an amount of money, which is frankly considerably less than the proponents have suggested? That's kind of some of the kinds of difficult questions you're going to have to deal with over the course of this debate, which I agree, Mr. Chair, is going to go on for a number of years.
And Mr. Kosiak, thank you. And again, this isn't a committee on you can when I'm done. This isn't a committee on economic development, and certainly we can debate these issues ad nauseum here, but I'm more concerned about the ag stuff. I will respond briefly to you because I do think we should have a fair conversation on this. And, of course, what happens is we get people to come up from both sides, and I really don't want to get into that a lot because we'll hear one side of the issue. Then we'll hear the other side. And neither side, I don't think, lays out a complete side or a complete picture, including what you just did. And again, I appreciate all what you're saying perhaps is accurate. I don't know. And, again, we don't have the studies before us. Maybe we should align some of those this year. Maybe at the least we should pass some study language this year so we're prepared for next year with this. So we can get through some of these disputes. But as you talk to jobs, it's not just $125 million. That $125, for the most part, is going to create jobs. And that's the part you're missing on your testimony. The livestock investment grants, if we can put money into that, that brings 10 to 1 money, matching money, and those are all construction jobs across rural Minnesota and ultimately increase jobs on our livestock facilities. So we're adding jobs with that, as well as our biofuel and other things we're doing. We're trying to develop an industry that's adding jobs. And this money comes every year that we can use as seed for those types of jobs. The bioscience, it's not just handing money out. It's there to create jobs out of this bill, whether it's a MinWest technology campus in Wilmer or whether it's a U of M bioscience project or using angel investment money along with this, it's to create
many good-paying jobs in rural Minnesota. Same way, heaven forbid, we'd build a Viking stadium or a hockey arena or anything else. Those are jobs. I had the 49ers in my office yesterday. 180 of them came to the Capitol and said, we need a bill like this so we can get our next stadium going, or we can get that next rural construction project going with an ice arena or a community center or whatever it is that we choose to use the money for. So everything in here is also job-related. So as you talk about, and I appreciate that, again, the loss of jobs that may or may not happen at a casino across the state, you also have to then talk about what kind of job development and creation, permanent job development creation, would result in investments of $125 million a year across the state. So there's two sides to that, and that's why I really don't want to go too far other than the ag issue in here, because I think that should be aired, and I hope you ask Representative Rukavina to hear the bill in his committee where we can talk about those jobs. And I hope we can go down to North Slavic's committee and talk about the benefit of $25 million a year for ECFE and the money we can save in the state moving forward with those programs. Because I think there is a lot embedded in here on where that money is spent and what its ultimate is. So, again, I'll let you visit with the committee on whatever you want, Mr. Grindel. I guess it's your turn. But I really want to limit, you know, I don't want a three-hour hearing here on the job loss or what might be or what could be or what should be, because we can also bring the other side up for just as long as we want. They'll go on and on about theirs, too. But I think there's a lot more than either side wants to talk about embedded in this bill. So, again, I'll let you visit with us, Mr. Grindel, shortly out of respect for you and the folks you work with. But then I'd like to get people to actually talk about the agriculture piece in here, which is this committee's purview, and if there's any discussion pro or minus on that. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the comments that you made also about jobs in rural Minnesota and the like. But I guess my question doesn't have to do with agriculture portion necessarily, but uh-oh, it's just, it is the bill, and it is, okay, it is, what I want to know, and let me give you the short version. I'm in southern Minnesota. We have no tribes, no casinos. We have competition with Diamond Joe's in Iowa, so that's where our money's going. My question is this: is there any type of gambling, and I'll use the word expansion, that you would support in the state in any type of, is there anything that would work for you? Because certainly your arguments don't work in my area at all. So is there anything that you would support?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, at this point I can tell you that the for the last 20 years, since 1990, 91, when the compacts were concluded between the 11 Minnesota tribes in the state of Minnesota, there was an understanding, and that is that tribal gambling was restricted to reservation only and to video, what we could call today video slots, and blackjack of the what we call in the parlance class 3 games. Which does not include bingo and poker, but the serious, what we call the serious gambling games. Once they concluded that, they made an agreement that they would not expand beyond the reservation, nor would they try to expand the games into other kinds of class 3 games. But they also, at the same time, then said they were opposed to any expansion of gambling in Minnesota. And that's been their position for 20 years. And believe me, there's a lot of hard thinking that's gone on to every proposal that's come. But that still is the position that the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association maintains today.
Representative Post.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have several concerns about this, but I'll stick to the ag comment only. what assurances do we have that, suppose we do get $20 or $25 million from this and goes to agriculture, how do we know that that just isn't going to supplant money that we're already getting, which is basically what we're seeing with the constitutional amendment on the sales tax increase? So much of that money is just supplanting old money. What assurances do we have that that will not happen with this?
Well, and Representative Faust, we can never hold a legislature every 2 years. It changes, or a governor every 4 years. But certainly the intent is for this section to land in this committee, the bulk of it. And so hopefully you're back here with us, and we're directing where that money goes and making sure it doesn't get supplanted. That's my intent, is that this money would go to the committees that have jurisdiction. We're not setting up a 3/8 board like we did. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's working very well. And I think it should go to the committee with people with election certificates that can make up their mind how that money's spent. So in the ag section in particular, come to the ag finance committee is my intention. Mr. Grindall, welcome.
Mr. Chairman,
glad
thank
to
you very
have
much.
You here.
Ted Grindall with Lockridge Grindall now, and representing
the Lockridge. You don't come to the Ag Committee enough.
It's a wonderful pleasure to be here.
All right.
In fact, there is a nexus here, because farming, I always was told, was the first form of legalized gambling in Minnesota.
There you go. So, it still is.
To that degree, I do think you're talking about making tough choices relative to using resources. And I wanted to elaborate very briefly on comments that Mr. Kozak made, specifically related to my client. With the bill as proposed, the numbers that we project are 40% loss of our overall revenues that would come principally because of the running ACE as the location. Because of that, and the 2,900 employees that we have that work in our two facilities, 91% of which are non-native employees, there would be obvious job loss, and there would be relocation to the degree that Mr. Kozak was talking about. So in the sense that you're dealing with both ag, job, and related issues, there are many additional impacts. I have some testimony just I'd like to leave with you from Vice President Angela Hykus at Grand Casino and the city manager of Hinckley, which did testify and gave information in prior committees. Would like to share and leave that with you. And the net essence of that argument was not only that we were a good partner and there had been significant economic development, specifically in the Hinckley area, the largest property taxpayer in the Pine County, but that the choice and the balancing test that you will have to make is, are those jobs with health care and benefits that are currently there in areas that are very tough as you are looking at your proposals and trying to find ways to get jobs, will they be easily replaceable? So this conversation, which goes certainly within the purview of this committee but beyond it, is one that I think is an ongoing one. But we know what the impact would be based on our studies of where our customers come from and elsewhere. So we want and hope that you will weigh that as you make these difficult decisions. I'd have three other brief comments on the amendment itself.
Okay.
And I think it just for purposes of the record, one, in the definition of gaming machine you have on page 3, it's defined as any device. That would mean that it's not necessarily just slots, could be Keno, roulette. It doesn't really say what it means. So this is a dramatic expansion beyond any kind of gambling that's currently in Minnesota. Secondly, the Class B license, as I understand it, there's only two allowed in the metro area, but there's no limit on how many could be around the entire state. So theoretically, the Racing Commission could have many more locations. And finally, three, there's no limit on the number of machines. You could have as many machines as ultimately the Racing Commission would allow.
And again, I appreciate those comments. I'm happy to work with you on those issues moving forward. As you know me, I want people in my office working stuff out before anything becomes law. So I appreciate you pointing stuff like that out. And I am an author that works with those issues and be happy to do it. So I do appreciate that. And
Mr. Chairman, we greatly appreciate the opportunity to testify today and wish you well in your deliberations.
Which is why, again, I hope this bill does go to the Economic Development Committee, because the studies you're talking about, I'd love to see them. But to this point, you haven't been in my office to show them to me as the author of the bill, and I'd love to get that on the table. But I always find it curious. I'll use my own hometown of Wilmer. I see a Cub food store go up, and then within a couple of years now, I see Walmart put in a grocery store right across the street. And then there's another grocery store that goes in two blocks away. And just let me finish. And so what they realize in the grocery business is it becomes a destination. People now come to Wilmer to shop for groceries from the surrounding small towns, to the demise probably of the small town grocery, I understand that, but
But for those that are there, it becomes a destination, and everyone does better. When you go up to White Bear Lake, you see car dealerships, one right after another, down the highway. Not to say we don't want the other guy there, but we want to be there because it's a destination. When people go to Las Vegas, they go to Las Vegas because there's more than one casino to go to. And so as this moves, I hope it gets the Economic Development Committee so we can talk about perhaps Minnesota and these areas becoming more of a destination. I would argue that the 16 or 18 tribes that are running casinos around the state, if they would have thought ahead to put those all in a strip down here in the Twin Cities, everyone would be making more money. Mr. Kosiak, I know you're just going nuts now. I'm driving you crazy. I know that. So.
Just one more comment, Mr. Chair. And it also impacts on the question that I don't think I answered completely from Representative Brown. We didn't have the tribes did not have the option back in 1989 to set up casinos on the strip. In fact, that was precisely the hardest point the state of Minnesota drove during those negotiations, was that all gaming in Minnesota was only going to be confined to the reservation, because frankly at that time the policymakers on the state side did not want it to go anyplace else, and were quite fearful that this would be the beginning of a spread. So that was the hardest point to drive. Secondly, the point you made about the cup foods, and we've heard that argument before, and it's an argument worth discussing if you consider that the only target of this bill is Canterbury Downs, and because it's only I think two or three miles from Mystic Lake. So some people have argued that, but you can't make the same argument, Mr. Chair, when you talk about Hinckley or Onamia, which is how many miles from the Twin Cities? 60-70 miles in one case and almost 100 in the other, and running aces. The argument just doesn't wash there. And Representative Brown, you said that the proposals, you're looking for proposals that are going to help your area in competing with Diamond Joe's. And I can concede that there might be some proposals that would be helpful in that regard, however we might feel about it. But in this case, in this particular instance, this does not help compete with your folks compete with Diamond Joe's. In fact, quite the opposite, because if the proponents are correct, this is going to bring more people up to Canterbury Downs and the Mystic Lake combination. It's only going to draw more people from the rural area into the metro area to spend their money. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really do appreciate the time.
What do you think about the ag section?
How could we?
You don't have to answer.
How could we possibly argue with anything?
I'm having fun with you.
It's in section one.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And again, please, to the ag section of the bill, unless someone really just aching, if they're getting paid by the testimony word or something, you got to come down. We're happy to hear from you. Anyone that wants to, the horse. Again, it is an agriculture committee, and now we have the horse owners coming in, which I would consider part of this committee too. And I believe about $1 billion horse industry that this also supports. But introduce yourself and talk about agriculture as much as you can. But certainly I've left others drift a little bit here, and you're welcome to too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Court Holton, and I represent the Minnesota HBPA, which is the thoroughbred owners and trainers organization in the state, and I'll keep my testimony to 30 seconds. We've discussed some of the ag impacts that would be new developments in the bill. I just wanted to stress the existing ag component of the racing industry. The 90% of the inputs at the racetrack come from rural areas. About 10 or 12 years ago, so it would be dated now, one of the state agencies did an economic impact study on the horse industry in Minnesota. When we got the results back, we were pretty stunned by two things. One was the amount, the percentage of the agricultural component that was represented by that sub-industry was very much higher than anybody thought. I'll get that study for you and your committee. And the other was the breadth of it, all across the state, whether you're growing Timothy up in Moorhead or making tack in southern Minnesota or all of the things that go into this industry. The racetrack is only the showgrounds for all of this activity when it comes together, but the industry is in the entire state and not in an insignificant manner. This bill, if it were passed, would resuscitate that industry, and if you want to talk about jobs, that's a lot of jobs there. I think that was 40 seconds. Sorry.
Well, I appreciate that. I am getting calls from my horse owners in my home district, I will assure you. So, any questions for Mr. Holt? Okay. Anyone else want to say anything before we get out of here? All right. Back to the amendment, members. Wait a minute. Eakin, you already had a turn. No, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate again. I know your response was that, you know, as far as the governor's position on it, that basically it seems that the response was that maybe he doesn't mean it when he says that he's opposed to gambling. And I feel like we've been down this road before when we tried to pass revenue. It was a dead end, and I believe that this is going to be a dead end as well. I do think that the governor means it when he came out and publicly stated that he is opposed to the expansion of gambling in Minnesota. And I just don't want to be raising expectations here.
Sure.
When the fact is it's not going anywhere. So I just wanted to make that point.
And I appreciate that, Representative Eakin. I think if anything else, we should at least raise awareness. I hope this bill is called for, and I'm sure it will be, by hundreds of committees now to see it. And if not this governor, in a few short months we'll have another governor, and we don't know where that person's position is. And like we do in this place, we lay the groundwork many times for the next session or the next opportunity or the next governor or the next legislature. And I think even on that end of it, it's probably worthwhile to have some discussions on this in different arenas and different committees. So I do appreciate that, and I'll certainly be asking folks to nail down the governor's position and visit with you on it if they know more than what we're hearing at this point in time. So, to the junkie amendment as amended, or I guess I adopted that in there, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. To the bill as amended. Any further discussion? I renew my motion that House File 2100 as amended be re-referred to the full Committee on Finance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's adopted. Any other business before the committee? Thank you, members. We're adjourned.